11. Hebrews chapter 11. Read for us verse 1 through to verse 27. Hebrews chapter 11, and 1 through 27. Hebrews 11, known as the faith chapter. We see often through here, by faith, by faith, by faith. God's people did certain things. Hebrews chapter 11 and 1 through to verse 27. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, and whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the reading of your word and ask that you would add your blessing now to your word. And Lord, as we would consider some of this passage we've read, Lord, some of the truth there, I pray, dear Father, you'd quicken us. And Lord, that you would grant to us eyes to see and ears to hear and, Lord, a willing heart to do that which we hear this morning. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I want us to focus particularly on just a few words in verse 25 where the Bible says there of Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I want to talk this morning and think about this little phrase here, the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of sin. The Bible tells us of Moses when he was born. He was born in a day when Pharaoh had sent out a decree that all the male children that were born were to be put to death. The midwives were instructed to that end because the children of Israel were multiplying and Pharaoh saw that it was time for a little infanticide, and so he decided that he would pass a law that all the male babies would be put to death. And the Bible says that when Moses' parents saw him after he was born, they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment, and they hid him for 3 months. And then we know the story, most of us know the story, how he was sent, he was placed in a little container that they made, put down on the river, and the Pharaoh's daughter came down and found it. And then Moses' sister Miriam came out, and ultimately Moses' mother was given the job of bringing up Moses for Pharaoh's daughter for a period of time. And then he went into Pharaoh's palace to be brought up there in the ways of Egypt. Have a look back in Acts chapter 7. So I want us just to see a little bit of Moses' background. We tend to overlook the early years of Moses. We very much relate to him as God's leader, bringing God's people out of Egypt and through to the very edge of the promised land after 40 years. But in Acts chapter 7, and the Bible says in verse 17, but when the time of the promises drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him up for her own son. Now I want us to notice verse 22 particularly. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deed. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. I just wanted to read that to give us a little background of Moses. We understand how he was delivered by God providentially into the hands of Pharaoh's daughter and brought up in the palace there as her son. But notice there again in verse 22, Moses, now after 40 years, was very learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deed. Moses, it would seem, as you read a little bit of history about Egypt and about this particular time, Moses most likely would have been the next king, the next pharaoh in Egypt. You say, why do you say that? Because it wanted to highlight what Moses ultimately did. In other words, Moses had at his, we would say, fingertips, the potential and the opportunity to do anything he wanted to do. He had the full backing of Pharaoh's wealth and the privileges and the opportunities that go with all that. He was very highly thought of and a highly educated and a very wealthy man by reason of the fact that he was in Pharaoh's house. If we come back to Hebrews chapter 11, I want us to bear that in mind when we think about what Moses did. I'm not talking about now leading the children of Israel, but prior to that, Moses made a decision. And he had a lot to weigh up there. Remember, he was very learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was very well known. He was very famous. He had wealth and everything else that went with Pharaoh's house. And yet he made a decision that many would have said, how foolish. How foolish. That Moses, what are you doing, Moses? You could be the next king, the next Pharaoh in Egypt. How foolish. What are you doing? The Bible tells us that by faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, sin is fun at times. A lot of sin has a lot of fun attached to it. That's why people are attracted to it. That's why people get into sin. They don't get into it so they can hurt themselves normally. They get into it because they can have some fun, they can have some enjoyment, they get a bit of an adrenaline rush, they get a bit of excitement or whatever it is in their life. And, you know, sometimes preachers and Christians will give the idea that, you know, sin's terrible and you don't have any fun and you just need to become a Christian and live for the Lord. Well, the fact is that sin can be a lot of fun. Sin can be great fun for a season. There are pleasures in sin. There are pleasures. Imagine the potential that Moses had with the financial potential that he had. That he could have taken anything he wanted. If he got hungry, he just had to flick his fingers and the servants would roll up. And on it goes. You think about Moses was in a very prominent position. But he chose to do something. The pleasure of sin. Pleasures of sin, it feeds your pride. It will satisfy physical desires and appetites and feelings. And makes you feel good for a season. It offers many other things. Young people, don't think that sin isn't a bit of fun. It is a bit of fun at times. Some sin more fun than others. But it's only for a season. It is only for a season. The problem with the pleasures of this world, the Bible tells in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, where the Lord Jesus was talking about sowing the word of God. He said, there are some seed that falls on ground amongst the thorns. He said, that pictures the word of God being shared with an individual. And the pleasures of this world choke out that word. Pleasures of sin. It's fun, it's exciting. Why do these young fellows roar up and down the street and do wheelies and do burnouts and do donuts and eat, you know, whatever. All that kind of stuff. Why? It's fun. It's excitement. It's sin, but it's fun. It gets the adrenaline going. It gets excitement. And, you know, you just, wow, how good's this? And on and on it goes. It's feeding the flesh. It's feeding those appetites that are there, those desires to have fun. We all want to have fun. You know, the motto of a lot of young people this day, life's all about partying. Just having a party. Why? Because there's pleasure in partying. You know, and all the loose living that goes with that and all the groping and the carrying on with the young people and everything else that takes place. You say, isn't that a bit of fun? It's great fun. For a season. For a season. For a season. The pleasures of sin. Proverbs chapter 7. King Solomon. The wise king. In Proverbs chapter 7, spells it out in regard to relationships. Wrong relationships. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. A lot of young men out there void of understanding. Void of understanding. They just think it's all fun. Hey, we're just going to have a big time. Oh, have pleasure. Yep. passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, it's interesting. A lot of people do things at night, don't they, because of darkness. Think they're going to get away with it. In the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. He should have woken up immediately and said, I know what she's all about. See you later. I'm out of here. But what does the Bible say? Void of understanding. He just thought he's going to have a bit of fun. Just a bit of excitement. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face and said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. She said, oh, I'm so glad I've found you, you handsome fellow, you. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. What's she saying? She said, we can have a great time together. I've got it all set up. It is so romantic and so exciting. You just need, she says, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. She says, young man, just come with me. Oh, we're going to have a big time. Oh, the pleasures that you will enjoy, and we can spend all night at it because the good man is away. The man of the house. The pleasures of sin. You say, oh, I could just imagine. Yeah, well, you stop imagining. It's called sin. You say, would that be pleasurable? For a man, that would be probably very pleasurable. Pleasures of sin. Have a look in Ecclesiastes, this same man who wrote the Proverbs. Ecclesiastes. And chapter 2. As I was thinking about Moses, I thought about Solomon. And I was making kind of a mental comparison between the two. Have a look in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes. I said in mine heart, verse 1, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. He says, just enjoy it. And behold, he says, this also is vanity. He said, by the way, it is vanity. It's empty. It's vain. I said of laughter, it's mad, out of mirth. What doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. Yet, acquainting mine heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. He said, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Solomon said, I just went out seeking pleasure. Whatever I turned my hand to, whatever I did. Notice what he says in verse 10. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. I think we put the word pleasure there as well. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion, all of my labor. He said, there wasn't anything that I felt like I wanted that I didn't go after and get it. He said, I was the original pleasure seeker. Whatever it was, Solomon said, I got after it. Whatever my heart desired, whatever I thought would make me happy, I went after that. Then I looked on all the works that my hands, verse 11, had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, sin for a season. the pleasures of sin for a season, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Solomon said, I did it. I got after it. I chased it. I ran after it. I went here, there, and everywhere seeking pleasure, whether it was in my own abilities to build, whether it was in the lusts of the flesh, whatever it was. He said, I was chasing after that. And he said, I found at the end of it, it was all vain and empty. That's the way it is. The pleasures of sin for a season. Moses could well have been like that. He was in a place of prominence there in Pharaoh's home. And he wasn't as wealthy as Solomon, because the Bible says he was the wealthiest man who's ever lived. But he was wealthy. And he could have done a lot of what Solomon did and sought after pleasures and had all that. But the Bible says, no, that Moses made a choice to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, the pleasures can come in all sorts of ways, can't they? Pleasures that we can have, pleasures that make us feel good, those things that make us feel important, those things that make us feel needed. There's a lot of things out there that we chase after which are pleasurable, but ultimately they're sin. You know, we got the pleasures of the tongue. They can be a sin and a stumbling block to us. You say, what do you mean? I'll give you an example. Some people, and we all do to a greater or lesser extent, the pleasures of the tongue, the things we say that draw attention to ourselves, the sort of things that we say whereby we make fun of someone else. Why? It gives us pleasure because we see them squirm, we see them feeling uncomfortable, and we get some enjoyment out of that. So, look at that. You've seen it in a family where the older children tease the younger children. Why? Because they get pleasure out of seeing the younger children react. And the younger children get mad with the older ones, and then dad or mum happens to get in there and finds the young one messing up, so deal with him, but the older one's sitting there smirking. Got them stirred up that time. They get pleasure out of it. Pleasure out of that. And so anything like that, that can be pleasurable. Some people delight in it. Cutting people down, pointing at them, making them look stupid, making them feel foolish, and then laughing and getting pleasure out of that. You know what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:29? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We need to be careful. These pleasures we get with our tongues, they may not be what we think they are. Just a little bit of fun. They are sin. The Bible says in James 4:17, unto him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. If I know that I should be ministering grace and edifying someone with my tongue, and if I'm not doing that, I am sinning, because I know to do good and I'm doing it not, that is sin. Some people delight in that. Pleasures. Pleasures of sin for a season. So we looked at some of the pleasures, and we could spend probably days on that. But I want to look at the other end of that now, the pleasures of sin for a season. Just for a season. Proverbs 14, verse 12. We can turn there. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Perhaps familiar to many of us. Proverbs 14, verse 12. But to emphasize this point about sin being pleasurable for a season. In other words, for a period of time. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says this: there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. But notice, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful. Oh, very funny. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. Well, it seems funny to laugh at someone. It seems funny to do this. It seems funny. I'm having pleasure in that. But the end of that way is death. The end of that mirth is heaviness. The end of that. Pleasures of sin for a season. Remember what James said in James chapter 1. He said, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished bringeth forth death. Pleasure of sin for a season. Remember in Psalm 73 where Asaph was concerned because he looked at people in the world who were having a lot of fun and they was very pleasurable and they didn't seem to be having any problem, whether they're financial or health or any otherwise, and he was unhappy about it until he went up to the house of the Lord and he saw their latter end. You see, you can go a whole lifetime seeking pleasure and enjoying pleasure. And you could think of people, you and I know of people like that, and some of them are getting toward the end of the race. I was thinking about someone like Hugh Hefner. You say, who's Hugh Hefner? Hugh Hefner was the originator of the Playboy magazine, one of the first to really get this pornography business going. And he's still going. And he's no doubt enjoying a lot of pleasure on a fleshly, human, wicked level. But if he dies outside Christ, he will go out into hell, a Christless eternity. And you know what's going to happen out there? All those lusts that are consuming him right now, in which he is able to satisfy day by day as long as he keeps getting where he's at, those lusts and those desires and appetites will be still there forever, but he will never be able to satisfy them. Imagine that. Imagine that. A man who has ruined the lives of millions of people through that pornography industry. And he's had pleasure in it. But let me tell you, if he dies outside Christ, he will spend eternity with those cravings and those desires and those lusts, and they will eat at him and they will eat at him and they will eat at him forever. The Bible says the place of hell is a place of torment. And one of the things that will torment him is the desire to continue that lifestyle which God says, now it's only for a season, it's all over, Mr. Hefner. And I'm going to leave those desires with you, but not let you have any of them fulfilled in any way from now on. You think of someone like Mick Jagger, one of the head of the Rolling Stones, who was one of the early rock bands and all that kind of thing. And he seems to have gotten through life pretty good, eh? He's still a popular figure and he still goes from this sin to that sin. He's having pleasure. But let me tell you the same thing for Mick Jagger if he dies outside Christ. All those things that have titillated his senses and have consumed him and those desires that he's filled, whether it be through the drugs or the sex or whatever he's done, he will go out there into eternity and those desires, those lusts, those appetites will remain and they will be unfulfilled forever and ever and ever. Imagine that. Imagine that. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. They may last a lifetime for some people in this life, but they'll have forever to regret it. The pleasures of sin for a season. Imagine the person who gives their life over to drugs in this life, and they die from a drug overdose or whatever else they die from. They'll be out there in eternity with those same lusts and desires, and they'll be unfulfilled forever and forever and forever. Can you see the foolishness of sin for a season, the pleasures of it for a season, young people? It is not worth it. You might be like Hugh Hefner or some of these other people, and there's myriads of them who've given their lives over to seeking pleasure. They don't care how they affect other people. They don't care what happens to other people. They're only interested in themselves. They will have forever to think about that. Be tormented by it forever. The Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Young people, sin is a bit of fun. It's a bit of excitement. It's a bit of an adrenaline rush. It's a bit of pleasure, but it's only for a season. Be wise and do what Moses did. Moses could have had all that sort of thing. He had it at his fingertips as the heir apparent to the throne. But the Bible says in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, after 40 years, Moses says, that's it. I'm not going to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm turning away from the privileges and the wealth and the fame and the possibilities and the pleasures of Egypt. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What a wise man. He, as it were, stood back and looked at that and said, I could go through life as the next Pharaoh, and I could just lift my finger and someone would have their life spared, or I could lower it and they could die. I could have all that sort of power. I could have all that sort of wealth, all that sort of pleasure. I can have a harem. I can have wives multiplied. I can do all that. I can have all the feasting and the food and the reveling that I want. He weighed it all up and he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt which were opened up to him. For he had respect and the recompense of the reward. He stood back and looked at it, took an eternal look at it, and said, this would be foolishness to continue down this way. I step out of all this. I step out of Egypt, out of the world, and I deliberately choose to follow Christ. Now I want to say something here. The idea here of reproach means what? It means esteeming the reproach of Christ. It means being ridiculed as a Christian. It means going through a little persecution as a Christian. As a Christian, you're in the workforce, and guess what? Some of your workmates are going to make fun of you. Some of them are going to ridicule you. Some of them are going to not want to talk to you. Someone in your family is going to ridicule you. Someone's going to laugh at you. Someone's going to point the finger at you. Some of your best friends will walk away. You'll never see them again. And on it goes. That's the reproach, being ridiculed and persecuted for the cause of Christ. But it doesn't mean that there is no pleasure in the Christian life. It doesn't mean there is no joy in the Christian life. Sometimes people get the wrong idea. They get this idea that Christian life just is hard, austere, stoic life, that you can't do this and you can't do that, and life's miserable until you get to heaven. Hopefully that'll be a happy place. Not at all. God's people, of all people, should be joyful. We've sung about it. Oh, say, but I'm glad. If you're saved this morning, you ought to be glad. Amen? The world out there, they've got nothing. All they've got is the pleasures for the moment, for a season. That's all they've got. And God says, I've given unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish. Oh, my. Oh, say, but I'm glad. I'm glad. There is joy in the Christian life. There is happiness in the Christian. There are pleasures in the Christian life. Sitting down with a brother or sister in the Lord and rejoicing that you're saved and anticipating what heaven's going to be like. Oh, there's some joy and pleasure in that, let me tell you. Oh, don't let the devil deceive you. Say, yeah, you just go down there. That's where the fun is. You get drunk and you get this and you get that, and you young people get together and you grope all over each other. You, oh, that's where the fun is. No, that's where the sin is, and it only lasts for a season. You know, John wrote this in the 3rd John. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. See, the world knows nothing about that. But the Apostle John could look at those who he'd ministered to over his lifetime, and it just brought great joy to him. He said, boy, that's good. Look at these people walking with the Lord and walking in truth. How good's that? He wasn't miserable. He wasn't unhappy. He wasn't saying, oh, boy, I think I made a wrong decision when I decided to follow the Lord Jesus. I missed out big time. No, not at all. You don't miss out on anything that's good and pure and right. You miss out on a lot of hurt and pain and emotional scarring and all that. If you choose to follow Christ, you make a decision by faith. I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus. Remember that hymn that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That's, I think Moses probably wrote that and then kind of got lost and then someone else thought it up later on. And then it goes on to say, the world behind me, the cross before me. And he goes on, the other verse says, though no one join me, still I will follow. Moses said, I don't care what everybody else does. He chose to do something. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Ask Brother Brendan Davies, is the Christian life a miserable, terrible, horrible place? Now he of all people would be able to say, yeah. If you look at him, you say, boy, there's a bloke who has to be miserable. What did he say? He said, I'm just praising God. He said, every door that we go through that God opens, we see his fingerprints on the doorknob. God's leading us. God's in control, amen? He's not sitting there going, oh, this is so bad. Now, he's got his times. He's got to deal with all these physical problems, and there's no question about that. But undergirding that, he's not miserable and sad and unhappy. That's how the world tries to paint the Christian life. That's how the devil tries to plant. The devil just comes along with counterfeit dollars. Don't worry about that. I trust that God would help us, each one. You say, I've made a commitment to the Lord before. It wouldn't hurt you to say this morning, Lord, I just recommit myself to you, and I'm going to just turn away from the pleasures of sin. I'm not going to allow sin to allure me. I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to look forward to what you're going to do in my life. I choose to suffer affliction with the. I choose to take a little bit of ridicule, a little bit of persecution, a little bit of mocking. I'm happy to take that on board because I know, what did he say? I know. And I have respect under the recompense of the reward. Moses said, I stepped back and I looked at what I had there in Egypt. And I looked not only at what will come the rest of my life, but I looked down out into eternity and I said, I'm making that choice. I'm going to turn away from Egypt and everything that I could possibly have there. And I'm going to suffer affliction with the people of God. And by the way, what did Paul say about affliction? He said, these light afflictions are but for a moment. How long's our life compared with the next 10 zillion years? Just a moment. And yet the world and the flesh and the devil says, come and enjoy your sin and have pleasure. God says, don't do it. This morning I trust that we would say, by God's grace, I'm going to eschew evil like Job did. I am going to be like Moses. I choose to follow Christ. Now, if you're saved this morning, then you're saying, Lord, I just recommit myself to you. I am determined to put sin behind me and go on and live for you. If you're not saved this morning, then let me tell you, you need to get saved. You need to understand that you are a sinner before a righteous and a holy God. You need to understand the gospel says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and that he was buried and that he rose again from the grave physically and bodily on the third day. And the way to be saved is to repent. That means we turn from our sin, from our religion, from anything and everything that we are holding on to that we might hope will get us into heaven one day. We repent of all that. We turn towards God and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial and resurrection in our place. And the Bible says when we call on the name of the Lord, we're saved. Happens in a moment of time, just as quick as that, amen. You don't have to go through classes to get saved. You don't have to spend hours of Bible study. You just have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you for our time this morning. And again, I thank you for each and everyone who's come out. And Lord, as we look at the life of Moses, the potential on the human side was enormous. Lord, he had the wealth and the position and the fame and everything that the world could offer him. But he chose to turn away from that. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Lord, the devil is a liar. The world lies to us. Even our own flesh deceives us into thinking that we just need to be happy and have fun and enjoy and be pleasurable in our lives. Lord, what a lie. What a deceit. Moses, by your grace, was wise enough to make the right choice. I trust this morning, Lord, that each and every one here in our hearts before you would say, Lord Jesus, I choose to be like Moses. I choose to take on the reproach and the afflictions with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Whether that season be merely just a few hours, Lord, I choose not to do that. I choose to walk with you and to follow you. Father, you alone know our hearts this morning, and maybe there's someone here this morning who's not saved. They've been chasing the pleasure of this world, and they've had to admit, and they would have to admit, that it brings up emptiness at the end. As Solomon could say, he tried it all, whatever his heart desired, and found it to be vanity, found it to be empty. Lord, maybe there's someone like that this morning. They've tried the pleasures of this world. They've tried to live life their way and it hasn't been successful. Maybe it has to a degree, but there's still that emptiness there. And this morning they would desire to be saved. They would desire to turn from their sin and their ways, turn to you and trust the Lord Jesus as their own personal Saviour. Father, maybe someone like that. I don't know. You know our hearts. But Lord, if there is, I pray that you would cause them to do just that, to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just while our eyes are closed and heads bowed, I wonder whether that's you this morning. You'd say, Pastor, could you please pray for me? I didn't realize that I've been seeking the pleasure of this world. I haven't been saved. I'm not saved. But I realize this morning that these pleasures, they will only be, even if I would spend a whole lifetime at it, would only be then, and what would come after that would be just something that I didn't even want to think about. And this morning you'd say, Pastor, could you pray for me? I want to be saved this morning. I want to trust Christ as my Saviour to help me to just pray for you, that God might help you come through on that and understand the reality of salvation. If you just slip your hand up, you don't have to come out. You don't have to say anything. I won't embarrass you in any way. But you say, Pastor, I just slip my hand up and ask you to pray for me this morning. I'm going to trust the Lord Jesus, my Saviour. I choose to take on board the afflictions and the reproach of Christ. I choose to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could you pray for me? Is there anybody at all? So I just slip my hand up and I say, could you pray for me, Pastor? Anybody at all? I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Lord bless you. Anybody else? So, Pastor, pray for me. The pleasures of this world, I'm tired of them. I'm sick of them. They promise so much but give nothing. At the end of it all, it's vanity. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, pray for me. And God's people, I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand, but just before the Lord, let me encourage you to say before the Lord this morning, Lord, here I am. I choose deliberately, afresh today, to go from this place, determined to walk away from the pleasures of sin and to live for you and serve you. Father, I pray for the one who's raised their hand. I pray, Lord, that you would give them the grace and the faith that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They might understand this much, Lord, that they are sinners, that there is a penalty for sin, which is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. They might believe that Christ died for them on the cross and was buried and rose again the third day. They might believe your word, which says if we would ask, based on what the Lord Jesus done for us, and believe, then we shall be saved. You would bring them to that place of rest in Christ this day. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.